Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk.
Hey, Deborah, I'm struggling more than ever being single right now. The longer it goes, the harder it feels. Do you have any suggestions on how to deal with anxiety and loneliness during this time?
So many of us heard of the passing of Mandisa last week, and I had the opportunity to get to know her over the years and have many conversations with her and collaborate with her as well as have her on the podcast. And so in honor of her life and legacy, I wanted to re-air a conversation I had with her. She was so open and honest about her struggles and her journey. She was so quick to share and encourage others along their journey of faith as well. So here is an episode in honor of Mandisa. I'm excited to have my friend, the one and only Mandisa, join me on today's episode. You've probably heard of Mandisa before on the show American Idol. She is now an incredible musician, a woman who loves the Lord. And I'll tell you what, she is living out singleness in such a remarkable way. And I am so thrilled to have her on the show with me today. Friends, I am so excited to be tag teaming this important question with my friend Mandisa. It's so good to have you.
Hi, thanks, Deborah. Really good to be here. I love what you do and love what you talk about, so I can't wait.
So this is a really important topic that we got today, but before we dive into it, Mandisa, I would just love to hear a little bit from you about yourself and what you've got going on these days. I know life looks a little different for everybody, but we just kind of love to hear a little bit about you and what you have going on.
I've got too much going on, to be honest. Like, I thought that this time was really going to be like a Selah, like, this is going to be a time of rest, of preparation. I just sense that this time right now is so important in the kingdom, because I think that what is coming up next, It just feels like there's a bit of a shaking that's happening on the earth right now. Mm-hmm. And so I still have a lot of anticipation, but before I knew it, I was busier than I was when I was on tour. And so I'm finding right now that I kind of have to choose my battles, choose what I'm going to say yes to, and choose what I say no to, because I still think it's so important to have some days where I don't have any responsibilities, where I can just sit in the presence of God. And I make that sound so deep. Sometimes sitting in the presence of God means that we're watching television or just eating popcorn. Like, yeah, resting. I just find that is the safest place to be. So in addition to recording, I just recorded a song that's going to come out, I think, at the end of May. And I'm doing this Mornings with Mandisa, where I get on my YouTube page and just kind of talk about some things that the Lord has been sharing with me. And that's been amazing. Mm. I am very active on social media. Probably need to cool that down a little bit. And I've got a Word Warriors group where we memorize a new scripture every month. And just a lot of things that I'm passionate about, but at the end of the day, I just don't want to overextend myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I love what you were saying about this time. I do feel like something new is coming. And
And I really believe in one thing that I've been saying is that this is not just a time to get through. This is a time of preparation. Yes. And yes. You know how people always say, well, time heals all wounds, but we give time too much power. Time doesn't do squat for us unless we're actually being active participants in that time and using it to our advantage.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I think God is showing us right now is it's not about a strategy. It's not about all of our programs. It's not even about like, okay, when I get up and I'm in my quiet time, I have to read this much scripture and I have to pray for this song. Like it really is about his presence. And so I just want to be careful. Like I love having a plan. It's just the way that my mind works. But more than anything, I want to make sure that I am focusing on God's presence even before any strategy. And so I think with churches not being able to do what we typically do, I just think that God is saying, I love your churches, but I need you to really realize that it's about my presence in your churches and not the actual building itself.
That's so true. Mandisa, I know that you are single. Is that true?
Yes, that's very true. If you know any big black born again believers with a bald head and a goatee, please send him my way.
Listen, fellas, if you're out there and you're listening, you better email me your application to Deborah@truelovedates.com. I'm going to look over it myself.
Awesome.
So what's it like going through this whole experience as a single person? And I'd also be interested to know if you live alone, because I feel like that kind of makes a difference too.
Yeah, it does. I lived alone up until last week when I got a little puppy. She's a Havanese. She's now 11 weeks old. So now I have a roommate, but I live alone. I call myself an ambivert. Uh-huh. There are times when I have got to be with people, and then there are times where I have got to be alone. And so I love that I have the option. For me, this time has been, I'm either doing really, really great or I'm doing really, really poorly. Yeah. I happen to be doing great right now, but the week of Easter, I just sank into that deep, dark pit of depression that I so often visit. And it was an entire week. And I feel like there is a trigger for me with Easter because I find, well, this happens every Easter for me. And so I have a therapist that I'm working with, and I'm going to start reading a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, that's such a good book.
Oh, good. Okay. You've read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a big, thick, long book. And it's definitely
doesn't look that big to me.
It's got some, you know, it's a little traumatic. Mm-hmm. It really goes into trauma, but something that I think so many people don't understand and need to. So I think that's a great read.
Yeah. You know, I went to, there's a place called On-Site in Middle Tennessee. And it's like a, what would they call it? It's a retreat center, but it's for people that are battling with different things like depression and anxiety and just sexual, you know, bondage. And so I did that in January just because it's such a battle for me and it's been a lifelong battle. And I just feel like I can't keep circling around this mountain. I don't want to visit this. And so I finally decided to take it seriously. And so in addition to that week that I was there, they recommended that book. And I realized there are just some things that happened to me as a little girl that really does affect who I am today.
Yeah.
And the only way that I'm going to overcome those things is if I actually face it. And I'm not used to facing it. I'm used to eating it and stuffing it down, which is why when I faced the biggest depression of my life, in 2 years, I gained 200 pounds and I was miserable and I wanted to take my life. And so it's just a very real issue for me, and it's something that I have to take really seriously.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you sharing that. You know, I'm a huge advocate of mental and emotional health, and I haven't mentioned this yet live on the podcast, but I guess here goes. The book I'm working on right now that I'm finishing up is about taking inventory of our mental, emotional, spiritual and physical health, because just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're going to automatically be healthy. That's just not how it works. And and I love that you're such an advocate of this because, you know, there's so many things that happen in our past. This is we live in a broken world and it's going to impact us. And when we've got to really wade through these things and not just assume that when we come to Jesus, it all goes away, you know? It's funny though.
Absolutely not.
Isn't it funny how we don't take that seriously in any other part of our life? Like, we don't assume when we come to know Jesus, all of a sudden our BMI is going to be the right number, our blood pressure is going to be the right number. But for some reason, emotionally and relationally, we expect like, okay, we're good to go.
That's true. I never thought of it that way. You're right. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest traps of the enemy is making us not think how important it is because we can't see it.
Like, yes.
I can see my hips. I can see the number on a scale. I can't necessarily see the bondage that's happening in my mind. And so I think that's something that we have to really, really focus in on and make a priority.
100%. And I love that you mentioned therapy because I think, you know, as a therapist, I think the goal is to help us see our thought processes in a tangible way, see our emotional responses in a tangible way. Because when we can see them, we can then begin to fight them. We can fight back against them. We can recognize, okay, this isn't God's voice. This is anxiety. Okay, this isn't the Holy Spirit. This is depression. And recognizing the difference between those two voices is so key. So you mentioned going through this, you know, a little bit during Easter as well. Would you say that singleness is a possible trigger, like being single or being lonely? Like for the people out there who are struggling with anxiety and loneliness, I mean, how have those two things kind of connected in your world?
Yeah, I think it's possible that it's a trigger, but I feel like it's deeper than that. I feel like I think something happened that I just am not able to remember because I've been single my whole life.
Yeah.
And only recently did I start recognizing that around Easter that I was going dark. And so I feel like my mindset is maybe it's not typical in that there are, I think, 70% of the time, I really appreciate my singleness. I think because I'm so busy and because I'm so active and because I love what I get to do for a living, I recognize I probably wouldn't have the same kind of freedom if I were married. Now, I want to be married. I just think because I have so many married friends and because I know that there are certain limits, they're not able to do this, some of the things that I'm able to do only because they have a responsibility to take care of their spouses. My only responsibility is spending my time with the Lord and making sure that I'm everything he wants me to be.
Yeah.
And that's straight in scripture, 1 Corinthians 7. I love that passage. And so I appreciate my singleness, but I don't want to lie and act like I don't ever struggle or get lonely. I absolutely do. I guess I'm just learning that when I face that, I'm learning the tools to bring that to the Lord and not just sit and sulk in my misery.
I was really hoping you would say that because, you know, not that it was a trick question, but I really was hoping that you would say that, you know, loneliness and singleness and depression and anxiety aren't necessarily one leads to the other, because let's be honest, your relationship status does not change underlying anxiety and depression.
Absolutely.
And I think some people think that. Some people, because they're single and loneliness might be a trigger, they assume, well, if I'm not lonely, aka when I get married, all of a sudden this anxiety is going to go away. All of a sudden this depression is going to go away. But I can vouch for the reality that that is not how it works. I had depression and anxiety before I was married, and here I am, you know, 13 years in, and guess what? It's still an ongoing struggle. So for me, anxiety and depression signals, okay, something's going on. I need to dig a little deeper here. And maybe loneliness is a trigger, but there's roots that run a lot deeper than that people really have to identify.
Absolutely. I've got so many friends who are married, and some of them are in great marriages. Some of them are in marriages that they say to me, it can be even more lonely when you're married and still feel lonely. Mm. So the grass is not always greener on the other side. The grass is green where you water it. So I'm just trying to water my grass.
I love that. I love that. You keep watering that grass, girl.
Yeah.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. When you do go through seasons of loneliness, which, you know, so many singles can relate to that, especially during COVID, because we've just been kind of pulled away from our connections, you know, by force. We've got these boundaries and we can't really cross them the way that we used to. So when you feel that loneliness in that time, what has been helpful for you?
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost, when I was really feeling it, like the second week of being on quarantine, I went on a date with Jesus and it was amazing. Like, it was so sweet. I just went on a walk. I just moved into a new apartment recently and I just kind of wandered around and I found this little lake and there were ducks and there were fish and little turtles. And I just sat there and I started by playing the song Come Away With Me by Jesus Culture. And then I just felt a little nudge to play, Is It Come Away by Norah Jones?
Yes.
Yes. And it just felt like God was singing it over me. I imagine that people listening to this may be like, she is a holy wonder. And it's really the tangible presence of God can be so felt. And it's so interesting. It's not a physical. I've never seen him physically. I've never personally heard the audible voice of God. I think it'll probably sound something like James Earl Jones, but I can't confirm that. But I felt his presence in such a real tangible way. And I laughed on some things. I cried on some things. I poured my heart out. Like I said, I'm lonely, Lord. I want a husband. And then I felt a little nudge telling me to pray for my husband, that I do believe that he has a husband for me. I believe there are probably several different people that I can be happy with, but I felt that I was praying for somebody very specifically when I started praying for him. And so, yeah, little things like that, like coming to my father and picturing myself curled up in his lap and imagining that I'm on a date with Jesus. It it made me feel so seen and so loved. And so that was one of the first things that I did. And I'm so thankful. I've kind of started adopting that as a habit. The other thing that I do is I reach out to my friends. I FaceTime, I Zoom. I was like, hey, y'all, I'm in a pit. I need help. I just need to have a conversation. And it's been amazing.
I love that. And honestly, loneliness is the catalyst, and it can cause us to do one of two things. We can use it to move toward Jesus, or loneliness can cause us to get bitter and move away from him. But the irony of that is, as we move away from his presence, we feel even lonelier. We get to a worse place. And so I love that you used that loneliness instead of trying to shove it away or repress it or ignore it. It's like, okay, here's what I'm feeling, and lean into that and then allow Jesus to do what he does. And I just love that you went on a date with Jesus, because man, that is just the best habit. And from my perspective as a married woman, I mean, I think it's important for singles who are listening to understand that marriage doesn't always solve that. I mean, granted, it is in a healthy marriage, it is the greatest blessing to have a life partner and best friend. But at the same time, they were not made to fulfill every tiny desire in your heart. They can't. They're not capable of that. And there are times where you feel lonely or alone or you're struggling. And the only thing that will resolve that is Jesus. So
yes,
I love that.
You know, that line in Jerry Maguire, "You complete me," that's a nice line. It's not true.
It's
like,
so not
a man
true.
Isn't going to complete me.
Jesus completes
me. And Yeah, the healthiest that I can be when I meet my earthly husband, that is going to not just benefit him, it's going to benefit me as well. So yeah. I'm trying to not just focus on looking for Mr. Right. I'm really trying to focus on becoming Mrs. Right. So yes. The way that happens is spending time with them.
I also love that you took that time and took that desire and brought it to God in prayer, because that is how we move mountains in our life. Jesus says, bring me your requests. And for some reason, we're bashful about coming to him with the request of, hey, I would love a husband. I would love a future spouse, you know? Actually, Mandisa, one of the things that I wrote, I do a lot of online courses, and one of them is called 21 Days to Pray for Your Love Life Before You Have One. Aww. So today when we get off, I'm going to send you that course, because I think you would really enjoy it. It's like a journaling experience with 21 days of specific prayers that start from the inside out, that start from getting me healthy, and then eventually praying for the person that God has for me. So I want you to go through that, girl.
Thank you. I absolutely will. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to really talk about is, you know, for those of us on the outside looking in, and maybe we're not struggling with loneliness, maybe a single sends this podcast episode to somebody, a friend or a family member, I want to shout out to those people and answer this question. How can people help those who are single? How can we support those who are single during these times? Because, you know, sometimes people try to encourage singles, but then they end up saying things that are actually harmful and hurtful.
Yeah.
So what do you think is, you're like, been there, done that, have a list of them.
Yeah.
So what's helpful?
I can give you very practical ways that my people have just been so supportive of me in this season. One is just the simple, hey, I just wanted to check in on you. I know that you live by yourself. I just wanted to see how you're doing. Like a simple text or a phone call, it goes miles. And so I appreciate that. Another thing that some of my people have done, as a matter of fact, as I was talking to you, there was a knock on my door and I see that somebody has left a package for me on my doorstep. Aww. I haven't looked to see what it is yet, but that happened to me on Sunday as well. Somebody just dropped off flowers for me, a beautiful vase of flowers, and it came in a little vase that had a dog treat on it because they knew that I was a new dog mom. That little gesture, it just says, I see you, I'm thinking about you, I love you, and I just wanted you to know. And that just makes a girl feel so loved and so special. So those are just two practical things that you can do.
I love that. And, you know, just from the outside looking in, people, like, I know that you might look at someone like Mandisa and think, well, she's got a community because she's got a platform and everyone knows and loves her. But let me assure you that the bigger your platform, the more lonely it can feel. Because I don't think people really understand that, because, you know, when you're doing ministry and you're immersed in this world, your real life friend connections are kind of few and far between. Like, you got to find those real friends and hold on to them for dear life. So it's not about platform. It's about being intentional with the community God has given you. Am I right?
Yeah. And it doesn't even need to be a lot of people. Get you one good friend. That would be that for you. And that's all you need. I just posted this morning on my Instagram page. I posted a scripture. I think it was Matthew 18:20 that says, where two or three are gathered, I'm in your midst. And in the comment section, there was one lady, her name was Ashley. And she said, I asked people to tag their prayer warriors. And then I tagged 10 people, because the limit is 10, but I've got lots of prayer warriors in my life. And she said, she commented, she said, I wish that I had somebody like that. And so I just began talking to her. And the first thing that happened is that two of my followers, they reached out to her and they said, hey, I'll be your prayer warrior. How can I pray for you? Another thing that happened is that I asked her, is there nobody in your life that you can ask to pray for you? And she said, well, there are people at my church, but I just wouldn't feel comfortable reaching out to them. So I asked her, why wouldn't you feel comfortable? And she said, well, somebody told me a long time ago that I'm a lot. And so every time I think that I'm being a bother. And so I told her, that to me sounds like a strategy of the enemy, trying to actually keep you from the community that God has called you to. I want to encourage you that, first of all, I'm a lot, so I would rather be too much than too little, first of all. But the other thing is that I actually think people like when people reach out to them and ask them to pray for them. It's not a bother. It is an honor. And so I encouraged her to reach out to the people that she was thinking of. And so if you don't think that you have people in your life that can be that, just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anybody that I can just maybe ask for coffee once we get off of quarantine, or ask to pray for me? Ask God for a best friend. And I really believe that that is an answer that He would love to answer for you.
Yes, 100%. You know, when I look at my life and my closest relationships over the years, they've always come with me being intentional. Like, I've always had to take the first step. And granted, some people might think that's annoying and frustrating, but that's really life. I mean, relationships, especially healthy, good ones, don't just happen by accident. Mm-hmm. They take intention and deliberation. I even think of the mentors I have in my life, and it took me approaching them and asking them to mentor me. Them walking up to me and saying, hey, you know, God put you on my heart. Maybe that will happen, but that's not the norm for me. And I've had to go and be intentional about seeking out those relationships. I think of my circle of friends. And when I've been struggling, you know, deep down, we all hope that somebody will be able to read our minds one day and know what we need before we even say it. But that's not realistic. And that doesn't even happen in marriage. I mean, we've got to get good at recognizing what we need, whether that be, you know what, I need weekly Zoom meetings because I'm struggling right now. Mm-hmm. I need you to pray for me, or maybe we can even set up a time to pray on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I, you know, even going as far as just telling people your love language. My love language is, you know, quality time or gifts. And it really means a lot to me when I get a note in the mail, or like, I think sometimes we're ashamed to admit our needs.
Yeah.
But those are the things that really connect us to people the most. Those are those vulnerable moments where we invite people into our life, and it makes all the difference.
Yeah. And I guess I want to also tag on to that, that if you want a good friend, then first try being a good friend. Like, don't just go in and thinking, what can this person do for me? Actually go in and saying, how can I serve this person? How can I be a good friend to them? And that will attract a good friend to you.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. You mentioned earlier that you've kind of struggled with feeling depression, anxiety, and just different things on and off in your life. What has been the most helpful for you in working through those seasons and dealing with those really hard times?
Yeah, I think counseling is a big one for me. And then also learning to be honest with the Lord. Like, when I feel that darkness coming in, my default is to stuff it down with food and to veg out watching television. I am learning, and it's not easy, I'm learning to bring those feelings to the Lord. And it's not, I think in my mind, I think it's disrespectful. I can't talk to God like that. And I think God is saying, if you don't talk to me like that, then you're going to stuff it down. I want you to talk to me about absolutely everything. And so learning to do that, and then just having people around me that I can be honest with. You know, I want to mention that, yes, I went on my date with Jesus a few weeks ago, but the week of Easter, I did the exact opposite. I did my default. I ate and I ate and I ate. I sat in front of my television. I hardly moved my body, and I was miserable. I thought that it was somehow going to make me feel good, and it did. It had the exact opposite effect. And so just recognizing, okay, yeah, I slipped for a week, but you know what? I got up and I realized that was not good for me. It didn't make me feel good. I didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel comforted. I felt the most comforted when I went on a date with Jesus. And so just remembering that when I walk ahead in the future, that's just a great thing to remember.
Yeah, I love that. You know, one thing that I always remember for myself personally, and kind of going along with what you're saying, is that our feelings can't be our compass. They can't be our guide. Mm-hmm. They can't be our leader. Because our feelings often tell us the wrong things to do.
Yeah.
You know, what I feel and what is good for me it doesn't always line up, even when it comes to relationships, you know, what I feel isn't always in line with God's spirit. And learning to recognize that I should acknowledge my feelings and understand my feelings, but that doesn't mean I just follow them blindly. Because a lot of times the Holy Spirit is speaking above and beyond what we feel. And a phrase that my mentor told me that I've been holding on to for dear life is that God is more real than my reality. And sometimes I'm so feeling all of these things in my reality and they're real feelings, but God is bigger than that. And God is beyond that. And God is drawing me into something even beyond what my feelings are telling me.
That's right.
I love that. I saw
a quote a couple of days ago that feelings make great servants, but horrible masters.
Ooh, that's so good.
Isn't that good? I love that because I'm somebody who is used to stuffing down my feelings. And so actually walking in this new area where I'm allowing myself to feel it. And not beating myself up for what I feel, but it's really what I do with my feelings that matter. If I feel fear, that's not a sin. Fear isn't a sin. It's what I do with it. It's if I choose to give into it, as opposed to bringing that fear to the Lord, that is where I miss the mark.
Yes, girl, that is so good. So this has been awesome. And I just want to close with any final words that we have to kind of encourage, if we could kind of wrap it up in a final word of encouragement for somebody out there who is single and struggling, what would we tell them?
I would tell them to read, meditate, study 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole chapter, and read it in a translation that you love that's easy to understand. I personally love the Passion Translation or the Message when I'm just reading in on that level. If I'm studying, I'll use like the ESV or the Amplified. And in it, you will recognize that Paul says that he wishes that everybody were single just as he was single. He called singleness a gift. He said that the person who is married, that they have a responsibility to tend to what their husband or their spouse needs. A person who is single like me, our only responsibility is to tend to our relationship with God, to recognize the many benefits that come along with being single. And also for the married people listening, Paul also says that there is a gift in being married as well. So it's not that one is better than the other, but just recognizing that the best places to be, the best place to be is right where God has you, and that there's something beautiful. There's a beautiful gift right where we are.
Yeah, so good. And I would add to that, you know, if you're single and you're struggling, I think it's important to recognize the struggle and realize that that desire is a God-given desire, and you can hold on to that desire with no shame, because God made you for relationships, and you take that desire and you allow it to push you to the greatest relationship of all, which is your relationship with Jesus, while still holding on to that desire for marriage. Because that desire doesn't mean you're not Christian enough. That desire doesn't mean you're not trusting God enough. That desire is God given. And when you're delighting in Him, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And if that's a desire that He's placed in your heart, then you say, okay, Lord, there may be nobody in sight right now, but I'm trusting that you've given me this desire, and I'm going to move forward trusting and asking you to fulfill it, you know?
Yeah. And recognize the importance of the first part of that scripture, delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
Don't bypass the delight. As you delight yourself in the Lord, that is when He gives you the desires of your heart. But you have to start with the delight.
100%. You align your desires with His when you delight in Him and what He's doing. And I think sometimes we all struggle with this in the sense that it's easy to look around and see what God is not doing. It's easy to look around and say, okay, Lord, I need you to move here and I need you to move there. And why haven't you done that? But asking Him to open our eyes to what He is doing and focus on those things and believe Him for those things. Someone once told me that if we knew what God knows, we would want what He has given us.
And
I love that. I'm like, if we could see what He sees, if we could only see it, then we'd say, okay, then I'm exactly where I need to be. And so I'm just praying that, you know, anyone who's listening today, if they're feeling that struggle, that they would just lean into that truth, mm-hmm. That God is for you, that He loves yeah. you, that His plan for your life is good, and that He is not leaving mm-hmm. your side, and He wants you to lean into Him and delight in Him as He delights in you. Mm-hmm. So thank you Amen. So much, girl. I would love for you to kind of just give us a minute. Tell us where people can connect with you, where they can find you, what's the best way to reach you and what you're doing.
Thank you. So I probably the easiest way, because you can connect to all the other ways, is on my website. It's mandisaofficial.com. M-A-N-D-I-S-A official.com. And from there, you can connect with my Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. But I'm Mandisa Official everywhere on all social media platforms.
Perfect. And in the show notes, I'm going to link to Mandisa's page and all things about her. I'm also going to link to a counseling agency that's online, but rooted in faith. Licensed counselors who love the Lord. And if this conversation encouraged you to start the journey of counseling, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes for you to start that process, as well as the Pray for Your Love Life program. So
love it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mandisa. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, likewise. I feel built up. So thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Today, we talked about the importance of praying for your love life before you even have one. And one of the most common questions I get about this is, well, what do we even pray for? If you're looking for specific, intentional, and deliberate ways to pray for your love life, I really encourage you to join the 21 Days to Pray for Your Love Life course. I'm going to talk you through specific ways that you can pray for healing and for the hope of a future relationship. Find out more about this program at truelovedates.com/store. And if you use the code LOVE, you'll get 20% off. Start praying for your love life today. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay? Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Debra Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, debrafalada.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Debra Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Debra Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.